The following program has been furnished and paid by Nathan P. Ross, CPA, and KSEV is not responsible for its content or the products or services offered.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Syndication Mass Show with Nathan Ross. It's hard to believe it's been another week since we did this last time. I appreciate those of you that have tuned in. We're going to have a good show today. I've got my sidekick, Dan Dubose, CPA, that's going to join us here shortly. He's well-rested from having the last couple weeks off. And we've got a lot to cover. So I'm going to get through the disclaimer here. As you know, first of all, the time we spend here, we're going to be discussing strategies, events, perhaps investment opportunities, et cetera, that you should just assume none of it applies to you until you visited with your own current financial advisors, your attorney, your CPA, or your tax strategist, whatever the case may be, and real estate advisors, your mentors, etc., to make sure that these strategies, these opportunities will fit your objectives. And of course, that has a predicate underlying it that they understand what these real estate private partnership syndications and self-directed 401 trust and zero tax math strategies. The problem is you don't find many professionals that in one spot understand those competing and often conflicting areas of law or opportunities. And so if you don't have someone that understands, by all means, go to our website, beaplanner.com, very simply, beaplanner.com. Top right, you'll see a link for intake forms. Right next to that link, you'll see a link to schedule a call. Feel free to do both, preferably in that order. Fill out the intake forms and then schedule your call. And we'll be happy to discuss with you what your questions are, which strategies you're interested in, once we understand what your facts and circumstances are. And those forms will help get us there. Okay, so on today's show, if you want to get a question to me real time, feel free to text me at 713-581-0195, or throughout the week, feel free to call that or text me on that number, 713-581-0195. And if we discuss an article that you want to see, Phil, if you can't find it just by doing a Google search, feel free to shoot me a text and I'll reply back with a link to that article. There's some good ones that came in this week. But anyway, if you want to learn how to access your retirement money to invest in real estate private partnerships, it has the ability to double your retirement wealth, your retirement lifestyle, and in large measure, we can generate tax-free income for life. Don't put off retirement for another 10 years. Now's a good time. Look around. And if you really want to retire, and retire is a misnomer. I shouldn't use that word. It's just I guess the other closest description I have is Marvin Zindler's sign off back in the day, Friday nights, when he would give the restaurant report, and he would always end it with, have a happy weekend, go fishing, go to the park, go golfing, or do whatever makes you happy. And that's really the essence of retirement. What would you do Monday morning if you didn't have to go to the office or go to your job And for some of you, including myself, I don't think I'd know what to do. I love what I do, and I hope I've got a lot more Mondays where I get up on Monday and go through emails and texts from the show last night or from Saturday. I'm sorry, for me it's last night. I'm 12 hours ahead of you here overseas. The messages from Sunday and the messages from Saturday, which we do at 5 o'clock p.m. Central Time show on Saturday. But in any event, we're not going to take a break just yet, but I'm going to whet your appetite with a few of the articles that we're going to discuss just quickly, because I want to get into a fairly unique syndication that I want to make sure as those that might be interested in investing in real estate private partnerships to sensitize or sharpen your radar to be on the watch for some of the nonsense that's out there right now. And boy, we're going to talk about a doozy today. And for any of you that happen to be looking at this transaction, I'm not going to name it by name, but you'll know enough if you paid attention to the presentation that happened at one of the local wealth, quote-unquote, clubs. I'll leave you to figure out which one that is, unless you text me. If you'll text me, I'll hint around at it enough to where you'll get it. But, boy, I tell you, it's amazing to me things like this make it out into the public arena where people that aren't informed will fall for these investments, the type that I'm talking about. So anyway, I've got an article, a couple articles here. Joe Biden gave a bizarre inflation speech this past week. I think it was either Thursday or Friday. I don't have the article in front of me just yet. I've got another one, and this is kind of I don't know that it's a shocker, but it makes you realize it's not how much you make, it's how much you keep. The title of the article is 36% of Americans making $250,000 a year are living paycheck to paycheck. And they're not all in New York City, before you start thinking, or L.A. That's crazy. I've got another article, and boy, I think this is explains why we're getting so many calls and text, etc. Stocks have taken a bruising, but they still could fall a lot further. And there is a massive exodus into hard assets because people are worried. It's not just the impact of inflation. There's a lot of things in the world right now that are causing supply chain issues and, you know, anxiety, unease, etc. Another article that's worth noting, and we'll touch on this one as well, is an old way to fight inflation gets new fans. And you're not going to believe what's come back into the public discussion. It's price controls, services, goods, rents, etc. And, of course, who's leading the charge other than our dear former Houston Law Center professor Elizabeth Warren? And so that should give you some idea of which way that discussion's headed. And then collaterally, we're going to talk about the communist that's running the SEC. Oh, I'm sorry, the head commissioner, the director of the SEC, I misspoke, that wants to put climate change and companies needing to report the impact of climate change on their financial results at the forefront. I mean, this comes after there's been other rule changes. And of course, the SEC is also still considering tweaking the definition. They call it a tweak to the accredited investor status. They announced they were going to put out a proposed rule this past February. It was going to come out in April. Still no rule. And I'm hoping they got enough pushback already to know that that rule is not a positive impact. And we'll talk more about that if we have time. And then let's see, maybe one more. Well, we probably won't have time for this, and we'll get into this maybe a week later. But basically, it's giving some good data on how the pandemic really impacted commercial real estate classes. And it's a relevant article, but it's going to take some time to get through that. I don't want to devote that today. In any event, we're going to go ahead and take a break. We'll be back in a few minutes. Again, the text number is 713-581-0195. We'll be right back with the Be a Planner Syndication Mass Show.
I was going to be rich no matter how much it cost. And I was going to win no matter how much I lost. Grindstones and rhinestones have made up my life. But I shine like a diamond through sacrifice. I was going to be rich no matter how much it cost. I was going to win no matter how much I lost. But I hope that will tell me, well done, my child. You've won your reward through your sacrifice. Your sacrifice.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com, Nathan at npross.com.
The Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, focuses exclusively on helping investors understand the current options for investing. The syndication arena has changed. You can now take advantage of direct online investing options without expensive upfront membership fees. Nathan Ross, CPA, discusses these options and more, including the math involved with partnership selection, reporting, and performance. On the Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, Sundays at 7 a.m. right here on KSEV.
There wasn't nothing but a heartache in the middle of a bad dream. Like I took on the whole world and I never had a chance, girl. Lord, I tried to be forgiving, but getting by don't mean you're living. And on that highway going nowhere was an exit overdue.
Okay, welcome back to this week's Syndication Math, or Be a Planner Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross. And once again, I'm joined by my sidekick, Mr. Dan Dubose, CPA. Dan, how you doing this morning?
Good. Good morning.
I know it's early there in Houston for you, but we've got business to take care of, right?
Indeed, sir. Let's talk.
Hey, let's start with the IRS data book release. I think it was this past week. It's chock full of good info, and we're not going to solve the world's problems, in a few minutes here talking about that. But I'm curious. I haven't had a chance to go through it. I think you spent a little bit of time on it. What are a couple highlights that you could throw out? And then we are going to tackle this topic in, I think, in more depth come this next Saturday show, the Tax Mass Show. But tell me what you know.
Yeah, the IRS is saying that this is for the year 2021, which would be the 2020 tax filings. Yeah, there was something like 281 million returns filed.
How many? And say it again.
281 million returns.
Wow.
That's corporate, personal, excise, you know, any kind of return they're talking about, but it's still a huge number, 281 million. You know, one of the things they talk about, too, is what the refunds were. The total refund was almost 550 million. No, I'm sorry, it was about 600 million refunds were made for a total of about $1.1 trillion. So they collected 4 million, but they refunded 1.1 million. So, I mean, it's trillion.
Yeah, that's some interesting math for our federal deficit purposes, right? That's crazy.
That's right.
That's crazy. Absolutely crazy. Hey, that's through now 2021, correct?
That's the filings as of 21. That's right. September will be the year end for that. But
man, that's hard to believe they got that out that quick. Yeah. Why can't they get the returns we filed from last October? The refunds paid on them, right? So, anyway.
There's a lot of refund, and a lot of the refund was because of the COVID transactions. They do point that out, too, but it's quite
the advanced child tax credits and the EIPs, the economic impact payments. So, still a lot of money, and it's going, I mean, I don't want to say this, I'm just saying that mathematically it's going the wrong way. Okay. We need to be putting money into the Treasury that's not spent on climate control. I mean, it's okay if we got the extra, and I mean, this may be a controversial statement, on aid to foreign countries to fight their wars when we got to go borrow the money. Why are we the ones having to go borrow? Where's the EU on this? Are they borrowing money over and above what their deficit already is? I'm not suggesting if we had it sitting in a savings account somewhere, it might be a good charitable contribution. But I'm telling you, Rand Paul, you can criticize him for all you want, but he asked the relevant question is, why are we going to go borrow money? And if you're going to start, who says start? If you're going to keep doing this like we've done every time we turn around, it'll never stop. And who's going to come to our aid when we need it? If they can't come to a country the size of Ukraine, God help us, right? If we're ever in a position where we can't fund our own military. Of course, funding our own military is something that we're already borrowing huge amounts of money on, but I guess I would suggest that's actually something that's rational. Maybe not to the same extent we're doing it, but, you know, we've got some pretty impressive weaponry out of that investment, even as much as we've spent for it. And, you know, I saw a video that, you know, one of these YouTube shorts, I believe is where it was, with Elon Musk, and he was talking about when the light bulb came on that he could build a rocket that would be cost effective. And I want to say, he said, when I figured out that if I and the government had the same stack of materials sitting in front of me, I could build that rocket for 2 or 3% of what the government would spend to build it. That's pretty telling, okay? And I'm going to suggest you can replicate that across all of government and see why we've got a deficit the size of the one we have instead of being, you know, deficit neutral, even better, having money in the bank if we're going to collect this much tax. I mean, $4.1 trillion in collection, Dan DuBose, that is a lot of money. Lot of money. And in any event. So what else? Anything else to tease for this coming Saturday's show? And I guess we should have mentioned the data book is published every year by the IRS, and it contains statistical tables and organizational information. It's on a fiscal year basis, so I guess they actually cut that off. What is it, Dan? September-ish? August 31?
September 30.
Okay, well, then that explains how they got it out. 9 months isn't quite as impressive. Still impressive for our government. So, in any event, but anyway, it provides data on collecting the revenue, issuing refunds, enforcing the law, assisting the taxpayer, which they did not do a real good job of this past year, even by their own standards. 1 in 9 phone calls got answered, which that's insane. That's your government at work, tax dollars at work. And by the way, You know, we don't talk a lot about IRS dispute resolution on our show, and I think that's something we need to change. I will tell you that good financial planning starts with getting your accounts correct with the IRS, and it's for several reasons. If you owe the IRS, you shouldn't be going out and investing in real estate private partnerships because you may lose them once they figure out where they're at, right, if you don't have some kind of agreement to pay the IRS in place. And then secondly, you know, taxes is one of the biggest components of most investors' worlds, I guess you would call it. You know, they're dealing with how do we minimize, how do we avoid. You notice I use the word avoid, not evade. The evade will put you in the big house, yeah. I guess you could call it. Yeah, there you go. And so, you know, the issue, though, is there are many ways. In fact, there are far more pages, and I've lost track, Dan. I've seen, I guess it depends on what typeface it in or what kind of web page it's on. I've seen the page count of the IRS code represented to be like 50,000, and yet I'm thinking, well, wait a minute, I used to carry one of those things around in my bag when I was going to U of H and learning about tax law. There's no way that thing was 50,000 pages. It might not have been 5,000. But in any event, I'm told that apparently there's like 5% of that code where the IRS explains, or whoever wrote the code, I guess it's a bunch of congressional staffs collectively, that the IRS pretty much acquiesces to or cleans it up, issues regulations. And I'm not counting the regs, by the way. That probably is 50,000 pages, right? Depending on how many volumes it is now. But if 5% of the code tells you or explains how you're going to get taxed, and 95% of it explains the exceptions, which part of it do you think we ought to focus on, Dan? And which part do we focus on?
The 95%.
That's right. And there.
You know, that 41 or that $4.1 trillion you're talking about teasing, you know, this is, I think, very telling as well when it comes to the tax planning side. 57% of that $4.1 trillion collected was from individual and estate trust tax returns. 57% of $4.1 trillion, over half of it, came from income tax from individuals.
I'm surprised it's not higher. Is the other,
well, the other
43
part is
corporate?
Part. The other part is 30% is from employment taxes, and that's one of the places where we work really hard to save some money when you get down to talking about the zero tax. You know, if you can, well, that leaves, you know, about 10% that's from business, but who pays business taxes? The individual,
well,
ultimately, the consumer, ultimately.
That's true. And, of course, part of that employment tax, roughly, what, half of it, I don't know, does that include the federal income tax withholding on a paycheck, or is that just Medicare? No. And
yeah, that's just Social Security, Medicare.
Right. So companies are splitting that. And it's kind of ironic, the circular function there, back to the individual, right? So truthfully, the individual, let's see, if you add half of that 30%, so you got 15, right, you got 15% on top of the 57. That's why corporate taxes really, I mean, I know there's a big push right now to raise the corporate tax rates. You and I pay it. I mean, there's no getting around that. We are, the middle class pays the taxes. And again, you and I discussed that CBO report last couple of weeks on there. That's the Congressional Budget Office, the umpire, if you will, that supposedly calls the balls and strikes. And they're saying the middle class tax bracket, I'm going to say it's the 25 up to 32, will need to go up to 63%. 63% if we're going to do anything more than put a Band-Aid on the current fiscal deficit. The bottom bracket, the 10% bracket, will go to 25, and then the top one, which is absolute insanity, will go from 37 now to 88%. I don't know where California and the state of New York are going to get their money, Dan. I mean, can you tax somebody more than what they made? Is that possible? Because that's what's going to happen if they got to go. You know, California has a 13.8% top bracket?
Yeah.
So add 13.8 to 88, I think we've busted through the 100% mark. So I guess these states are going to have to start, in California's case, they're going to have to start living on some of the surplus. And, boy, look what they do when they get a surplus. You know, the California announced they had, I don't know, wasn't it like a $95 billion surplus currently?
It was a large surplus.
Right. So they're looking for ways to.
You should mention California, too, because California, New York, and Texas is where most of the taxes were collected. For, I'm talking about income tax.
Right.
Most tax was collected in California, New York, and Texas. That kind of, you know, that goes with population, too, but.
Right.
You know, it's still. Big incomes and all those, but Texas is number three, so that's where we are. That's where we can do our best planning, I believe, right here in Texas, save a lot of money.
Well, you know, I had one of your associates of long ago, Mr. Tim Mattingly, one of the infamous Mattingly brothers there that own some key real estate right there next to Ranch 99 Market on I-10. And Tim told me one time, he said, if you want to get a measure of the best or worst tax states to live in, and of course, Tim was wrong about his conclusion. Let's start there. He's wrong a lot of times, as you know, Dan, going back 30 plus years with him. But he has some interesting thoughts. As a true genius, and he is a true genius, sometimes he misses the tree, you know, or he misses the forest for the tree. But his point was, and it's still a good point, he was just wrong on the conclusion about Texas, is that you don't look at how much they tax you. You look at the per capita annual spending that's taking place in a given state. That's your measure of how much the tax burden is, because obviously how do we pay for it? We raise taxes. And you may get thrown a curveball where you think, well, gee, we don't have an income tax. Well, we got a pretty darn high property tax and sales tax compared to some other venues. And so, yeah, Texas is up there. Go look at how much we spend per capita. And I don't know. I don't know if your number three ranking involves spending or if it's simply, you know, the number of taxpayers or the part of that $4.1 trillion collection.
Yeah, it's
there.
The collection.
Yeah, but anyway. Okay, well, we're ready to take another break. Let's go ahead and take a break here. We'll be back in a few minutes, and we're going to talk about one or two more news articles, and then we're going to get in last segment. We'll talk about a syndication that just is truly troubling. But anyway, we'll be right back with Be a Planner Syndication Mass Show.
With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little forgiving and love along the way. You better get to knowing, showing a little bit more concern about where you're going. There's a word unto the wise.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to Nathan at nprawls.com, Nathan at nprawls.com.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com or tune in each Saturday at 5 p.m. for the Be a Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross, right here on AM 700 KSEV.
Dude from Houston. When I got them North Texas blues, thought I'd paid all my dues. When them South Texas blues told me, son, you ain't true. And them East Texas blues and them West Texas too. I done all I know to do, trying to lose, trying to
Okay, welcome back to this week's Be a Planner Syndication Mass Show. And I want to just mention one other article, and then we're going to get on into this syndication that I keep mentioning. And in any event, the concept of the tools that we have to fight inflation, I mean, you basically have some, you know, monetary debasement rules. Let's call it quantitative easing. And then, you know, there's a few tools, the Fed and I guess presidents have when it comes to mandating executive orders, et cetera. But one that has been a while, and Dan, we talked about this a little bit on yesterday's show, but the way that we tried fighting inflation years ago, you know, if you go back to the 50s and again the 70s, and that was what, Dan? What am I talking about? Price controls.
I'm sorry, right? Price controls.
I didn't mean to catch in the middle of a sip of coffee, but in any event, you know, this is in the Wall Street Journal this week, so it's not on Daily Beast or Vox, you know, some of the truly progressive websites. And the subtitle is, well, the title is "An Old Way to Fight Inflation Gets New Fans." The subtitle is "It Time for the U.S. Government to Impose Price Controls." And the only reason I would even bring this up is because if you're investing in real estate, you know, be ready. Now, I'm not sure this will see the light of day, but it might, because you've got a desperate party when it comes to the Democrats to hang on to power. And I don't know if they can implement something like this quick enough to change the onslaught, hopefully the onslaught that's coming, although I'm not sure it matters. You know, we've talked about before, the only difference between Democrats and Republicans since at least I've been doing tax work, and Dan, you go back a little further, but it's not how much we're going to spend, it's how we're going to spend it. And Republican Congresses have been just as adept at busting, you know, budgets as the Democrats have. There's really very little difference. It's just how we're going to spend it. And that's what the current fight's over. Do we want to spend it on all manner of going green? Even when you look at the cost of producing batteries for electronic vehicles, it's as much or more as producing oil. Makes no sense at all when you look at the out-of-pocket that, you know, I forget which of the Biden administration officials, Dan, you may have seen this here a month ago, made it sound like a $55,000 price tag for an electric vehicle. Well, that's just normal. Every American has $55,000 vehicles, right? That shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah,
and I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying in my personal situation, while I don't have an EV, electric vehicle, I will suggest that I look at them differently than I did the first time I heard about them, when they would go about 75 miles. And I'm thinking, well, gee, that ain't going to work. And then I was thinking later when they would go 200, 250, well, you know, I like to drive my Toyota Tundra because I have stuff I got to move around. how's that going to work? Well, now you've got trucks that are on the not just the drawing board. They're going to be coming out here in the next 12 months, I think. I think that's Ford's timeline. And those things will do, I think, 400 miles before you have to recharge. So they're getting there, but they're still unbelievably expensive. And to think that mainstream America is going to be able to totally get out of the petro game anytime soon, which is what I think, what is it, 2030? There's some major classes of assets that have to be, or of vehicle production that has to be switched over. I can't recall.
Yeah, 2030 is a big date. Yeah. You know, that's one that Ford has put out for trying to get out of the gas business. I just can't imagine it's happening, but you know, that's a goal of some.
Well, and you know, when they Biden, I tell you, to his credit, whoever's governor or you know running his teleprompter is pretty creative, and to come up with the notion that, hey, this is what we got to do to switch over to green is we got to pay. I don't know what I read that the average gallon of gas has gone from like $1.84 since Biden's inauguration day to what is it in Texas? It's a lot lower in Texas, obviously, than California.
4.45 or 4.55. 4.45. Still a very, very high number.
That's just
over twice the increase.
That's just incredible. But to picture or to discuss it like they did at this press conference this week, which is, well, you know, I told you it was going to be a little painful to move over to green. It's like, are you kidding me? How long is this going to go on? And of course, if gas comes back down, that kind of blows the argument on that explanation, right? Which, you know, I think is what you're going to see. But I tell you what, it's pretty amazing how, you know, this is all of a sudden being postured as, well, this is good for America. Americans are better off by paying, what is that, three times or not quite, two and a half times what
and
they have spent. I mean, it's a record, if I'm not mistaken, isn't it? Or am I forgetting some
in
period?
Texas it is, for sure. Probably okay. California. So
that's what I was thinking. So anyway, in any event, okay, so let's talk just a couple minutes about this syndication that has come back into play, you know, the platform that has that syndication has, and I say that has it, it's not really their syndication. The wealth platform doesn't have any exclusivity. So, you know, this same syndication is going to be out on other platforms, or you can just call up the syndicator, and I'm not going to mention names. Those of you that are members of some of these platforms will know who it is. But bottom line is, you don't have to invest through, you don't need a membership to invest. If you like what you're hearing, by all means, you know, go invest in it. I mean, it's crazy what's going on. But anyway, so here, let me give you the history. So this, and then we're going to take a quick break. This syndication was first made available back in, I believe it was October of 2020. The syndicator was not successful in raising the money, so went forward about 3 or 4 months, and I got an email one day about the most amazing multifamily transaction I've ever seen, quote unquote, was on the subject line. Well, naturally, it got my attention because this is somebody that does syndications, and so I pulled it up, took a look at it. I thought, this three Houston portfolio property looks familiar. And I was, you know, and I'm an old guy. My memory's not the best. So I did a little digging back in my emails. And come to find out, this was the same three property portfolio that had come out in October. So now I'm thinking, well, it couldn't have been the best one because you saw this one back in October when you offered it. So now it must be the second best. That's what it is. Still got my attention. And it still looked like a syndication that had some legs. I mean, there were some good projections in it. One of the properties was going to return your capital or 90-plus percent of it in a year. That's amazing. And so in any event, you know, that offering was successful eventually after several delays. And so that was, say, call it March or February, March of 2021. So, you know, we're a year and a half down the road from when it first came out. And now it's being offered a third time. And I'll explain more about that when we come back from the break. Let's go ahead and take our last break. We'll come back to the final segment to hear momentarily more of the Be a Planner Syndication Mass Show.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. Well, I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna warm it up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough to take control.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to nathan@npross.com, nathan@npross.com.
The Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, focuses exclusively on helping investors understand the current options for investing. The syndication arena has changed. You can now take advantage of direct online investing options without expensive upfront membership fees. Nathan Ross, CPA, discusses these options and more, including the math involved with partnership selection, reporting, and performance. On the Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, Sundays at 7 a.m. right here on KSEV.
With big dreams and faded dreams.
Okay, welcome back to the final segment of this week's Be a Planner Syndication Mass Show. It's hard to compete with that Dolly song, isn't it, Dan?
Yes, sir. I love it.
In any event, so I gave you a little bit of background on this syndication. It's a three-property portfolio, all based in Houston. And the one that finally made it out the door, got the funds raised, had been described as the single best multifamily investment I've ever seen. Now, that's by the syndicator, who I'm not sure what she was looking at. You know, I often wonder at times when I see syndicators that you know, seem to have some math issues, some challenges, as it were. Not that we all don't. I mean, I'll admit I make mistakes. That's why I try to read your private placement memorandum, Mr. and Ms. Syndicator, so I can understand some of the math. And I work with math. And if I got it wrong, call me. Be happy to talk to you about where I messed up, okay? And Dan, you know, we all make mistakes, right? And, you know, but interpretation gets easier when you see things in writing, right? So that's why we like to focus on private placement memorandums and operating agreements. So in any event, what's going on is this syndicator is kind of throwing or waving the white flag on the first life of the syndication involved, and now is proposing a third syndication that's going to buy out the first one and going to return to you. Now, initially, the number that was put out was going to give you a 50% gain on your existing investment. This is to group one that's invested, which it has to make you wonder, why wouldn't you just finish the existing syndication? I mean, we understand you're behind. We understand you in the original private placement memorandum projected quarterly distributions, none of which have occurred, no distributions to date. But if you've got something that you can go out to another set of investors and convince has significant value, which that's the only way you could turn around and pay off the existing group with a 50% gain, which of course wasn't real. I knew it wasn't real. I told more than a few clients there is no way, no how that they found a lender that's going to look at your failure on round one and say, oh yeah, I'll loan you 75-80% so you can take out the first group and a nice big gain and then go forward with the new group. Not going to happen. When you haven't executed your prior plan, lenders aren't stupid. They know what's going to happen on round two. And so anyway, that was the comment I made to several clients. And then not 3 weeks later, I believe, or maybe it was a month, another webinar comes up and she's decided that the buyer that supposedly had made that offer was a flake, which, you know, I know there were some flakes involved. I'm not sure which side of the transaction, but clearly there was no buyer, and that's what I'd commented on. There may have been somebody that was dreaming, but you can't dream without 75 to 80% of the capital lined up to acquire any apartment transaction. I'm sorry, it's a bad dream, and it'd be a nightmare if you found a lender that would agree to do it, because we like lenders that say no. It makes us make changes, make tweaks to the plan, maybe walk away from that asset altogether until we find one that a lender will approve. And so in any event, so along comes another webinar where now the acknowledgement of the former prospective buyer was made that, okay, that wasn't a real buyer. So I'm going to take some other investors and I'm going to buy the property again from myself, which, you know, that's interesting how that syndicator is representing both the original buyer or the, you know, the seller in this case and the buyer. I'm not sure how that's shakes out under SEC rules, although again, the SEC, once you file these exemptions, there's little if any regulations, so this might actually happen. But the bottom line is, now we're told it'll be a 35% gain. I'm still saying it isn't going to be an anything gain, because you're not going to find a lender to loan the money to a second rev. If the lender is fully disclosed and knows what's going on, this is a dead duck. And I guess the only difference I see between these two transactions, this comes back to my rant and rave every other week on this shows, are the fees. And it appears to me that the fees are the reason to do this transaction. There's nothing else. The assets are the same. The status that you're buying them is the same. They're still not finished, not ready to get the NOI up. I suppose you may say, well, we need more money. Well, how about doing a capital call, or at least make that an option out of the existing group? But here's what's changed. What's changed is now there's an acquisition fee. The first transaction was done a year and a half ago, and as you'll recall, I've mentioned many times, there were no fees. Correct, Dan? Year and a half ago, how many acquisition fees did we see? How many capital raise fees? How many refinance fees?
None.
Right?
We never, none.
Right. We never talked about this stuff. Well, now this deal, same property, same lead or syndicator. Now you've got acquisition fees, construction management fees. You've got a bit high property management and asset management fee. Well, the property management, the syndicator doesn't even say what it is. It's going to be market value, whatever that is. It's like, are you kidding me? You're getting ready to take money and you don't know what the market yet is for a property you already owned to have, you know, a property management fee. So, and then, of course, in addition to all the fees, you've got a 30% promote instead of the original 80-20. It's now 70-30. So think about that. This transaction is a maximum dollar amount of almost $5 million. It's $4.850 million. So I'm going to use five just to make the math easy. And that's of the Class A interest, which is the syndicator or the syndication, the passive investor. So you're handing this party on day one another $1.5 million in compensation that they've already gotten from the first transaction. So I'm not sure if the syndicator's taking their share of that gain on round one. Does this make sense, Dan? I mean, you see where I'm headed. You know, the syndicator is simply, it's the same assets, it's the same problems, different round of investors that probably don't understand what I'm talking about. And all that's changing is this syndicator is pulling a bunch of money out of this deal that she didn't get as much on the first deal, right? And so here's where I'm headed. And, Dan, you're probably already thinking this. I'm wondering if, in view of the fact that I don't think there's going to be a 35% gain to the original group, I think they're going to be lucky to get their money back. I'd like to see this syndicator draw a line in the sand instead of, you know, waffling between these different levels. And if it's a 35% gain, how about you let the passives claw back your fees? You pitch those fees back into the first deal, and don't tell me you can't do it. You can do anything that involves giving an investor a better deal. It's when you try to chop them back that you've got problems based on your PPMs that are out there. But how about you agree that, hey, I'll only go forward with a new group if I've given you, you define it. You'd say the number, but say the number and then put your fees up or part of your promote to assure those investors that they're going to get their money back plus some modicum of return for putting up with what's happened here over the last year and a half. And, again, for those of you that might be considering a three Houston portfolio transaction, it's probably this one. If you want to you know, sync up with us or talk to me about my analysis on this deal, I'll give you the details. But, yeah, I would just tell you this is something that you just need to back off, let it play out under the existing group of investors. I mean, trust me, with the existing group of investors love to get out of this thing, I don't think there's one of them that are going forward. And I'm not going to get into some of the other issues with this deal, but let's just say there were some disclosures that apparently weren't made the first go around that involves some partners that have some modicum of control, because they're the ones that's forcing, in part, this new transaction. But anyway, Dan, I don't know if you have anything to add on this. I know you're not as close to the fire, but this beats anything I've seen in quite a while. Just curious what your thoughts are.
You know, it's rather alarming just listening to what you're saying. I've not read it or know anything about it other than what you've just spoken, and it's, you know, why would anybody even get in there the first time if there's, you know, with that kind of...
Well, you know, there was no history. And further, you know, what I see all too often is people that join platforms end up listening to the people that are driving those platforms, and it's just bad advice all the way around. Anyway, we're at the end of the show. More next week, Saturday, 5 p.m., and then next Sunday we'll come back to syndications as well. Dan, thanks for coming on today. We look forward to the next time. And we look forward to you listening in to the audience here for the next time. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. Be sure to tune in next Saturday at 5 for another edition of Be a Planner Show here on AM 700 KSEV.